You've heard me talk for years about the breakthrough health benefits of CBD. Now, our friends at CV Sciences have developed an innovative suite of non-CBD products that mimic CBD's healthful effects. CV Sciences' new Plus Health CBD-free line of gummies and capsules. The Plus Health Clarity gummies are packed with DMAE, lion's mane, and rhodiola designed to boost your cognitive performance, enhance memory, and provide natural energy. You need a little peace and calm? Plus Health's Peace Gummies, soothing blend of L-theanine, lemon balm, and St. John's wort supports serenity and relaxation without the drowsiness. And if you're on a journey towards optimal health, the Reshape capsules are packed with powerful ingredients like berberine and OEA to support metabolic health and help maintain healthy blood sugar levels. For more information and to order, head over to pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman. Use coupon code Hoffman30. For 30% off. That's pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman for the new Plus Health non-CBD collection. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I'm with Jim Laval, who is a clinical pharmacist, author, board-certified clinical nutritionist, heart health expert, consultant to health teams, and also to Lifetime, which is a wonderful chain of really excellent health facilities and gyms across the country, about to launch an anti-aging program, apart from just being a place where you can work out. We'll talk to him a little bit later this year about anti-aging and some of the innovative approaches to aging that he's been privy to, but today, I want to focus on Cholesterol Education Month, which this month happens to be. And, you know, I got to say, there's a certain amount of hype surrounding this. I think this concept of cholesterol has been co-opted because we know that cholesterol makes a difference. I think it's been hammered into a lot of people's heads that they need to lower their cholesterol. Cholesterol's bad, so we got to lower it. Hence, that stokes sales for drugs that lower cholesterol, which is a multi-billion, if not multi-trillion dollar business now. And more people are becoming candidates for lowering cholesterol as they extend the guidelines to more and more people. What used to be okay cholesterol is now considered worthy of being targeted to be lowered with medication. What's your perspective on this, Jim? What do you think is going on here? And can we take a more nuanced approach to this?
So I'm in agreement with you. Cholesterol is important. You need to look at it. You need to look at more than just your cholesterol basic numbers. You need to look at advanced cardiovascular markers, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a second. But I kind of think cholesterol for me is like the tail wagging the dog. Yes, there's people with genetic or familial hypercholesterolemia. But
cholesterol is like 400, 500, 600.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
But that's relatively rare. And, you know, we're not creating enough emphasis for people understanding that stress, cortisol causes your LDL cholesterol to go up and you make more small particle lipids. that glucose and insulin, when you're insulin resistant, that can, you can have that problem. When you're, say, eating a high saturated fat diet and genetically you're not predisposed, otherwise known as an apolipoprotein E3, 4, or 4-4 person. So a subtype of, your genetic.
The so-called Alzheimer's gene.
Saturated fat.
Yeah,
you eat saturated fat and you trigger more plaque formation and more dementia risk and more heart disease. And there's obviously nutrient deficiencies where this occurs. There's environmental burden that has been pointed to it.
Toxins and so on.
There's a lot of different causes, right? And I think, so when we start to talk about Cholesterol Education Month, I would love us to, understand that, yes, cholesterol is important and you want to know it, but what you really want to know is, why is mine high? What am I doing in my life? Am I not exercising? Am I under a lot of stress? Do I have sleep apnea? What's causing the metabolic inflammation that then triggers the bad actor lipids to go out of control?
So in other words, a root cause approach, rather than just targeting that, like with a drug to fix it, let's see what the underlying factors are that may promote your body's synthesis or uptake of cholesterol.
That's 100% it. I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, and when we say to people, eat a healthy diet, well, you know.
What that boils down to. Yeah.
Right? That's a real popular thing to say. And so it's hard for people, I think. I mean, more and more people are trying. But then they get all these confusing messages in the media of, oh, eat carnivore. Well, if you're an ApoE 3, 4, or 4, 4, and you go on a carnivore diet, you're going to make your lipids look crazy. And so they get into, you know, looking at different things and doing it, but maybe without consistency and not looking at their labs. And so the big important aspects of this is, you know, there's fractions to your cholesterol known as lipoproteins. And lipoproteins, it turns out, are also big risk factors if you make a lot of them for reducing your longevity quotient. So, you know, if you have lipoprotein little A, which goes up in people either have, you know, familial history or the pre-diabetic or the diabetic, and we got a lot of people that are pre-diabetic and diabetic because think how much Ozempic is going out the door. You know, that's a, you know, a big deal. And instead what we end up doing is saying, here, take this pill to lower your cholesterol and you're not going to have a problem. And the reality is you still end up having problems.
Right.
Because we haven't taught the global solution for the individual.
Now, Jim, they refer to this as what's called residual risk, which is kind of like the principle if you're sitting on, you know, five tacks and you get rid of one of them, your butt's still going to hurt, you know, and that's a little bit what's happening when we single-mindedly focus merely on cholesterol. So we mentioned, you know, other risk factors like Lp(a). Recently, there was a paper saying that the three things that really count, but, you know, there are a lot of things besides that you mentioned that count, but we just nailed these three things, LPA, LDL cholesterol, but also C-reactive protein, which is a marker of inflammation. If those are are big determinants of cardiovascular risk. So if we just lower cholesterol, but we don't fix these other things, people are still at high risk. And that's why we have to take a comprehensive approach and not just put statins in the drinking water.
Yeah, I mean, and once again, look, we're always looking, you know, I always try to get people to understand that many times drugs are developed because it's the lowest denominator, right? Like this drug, if you do nothing for your health and don't put any effort in, it could help a subpopulation of people that are that way. And I think we think that sometimes it's different if you have a bug, you know, you get sick, you take an antibiotic, at least get you out of the hot water of that bug.
That's kind of the original original intent of drugs, you know, is to deal with acute illnesses. But now we consign people to a lifetime of these so-called preventive drugs.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, you get so many people that are on multiple meds. We don't know how they interact with each other. We really don't. I mean, people are on 8 and 10 different medications. I mean, I can name any three different drugs that are in the kind of the cardiometabolic space. And there's other studies that show what happens with the three of them. So, you know, my big point is, look, if you're on medication, okay. But what can you do that's going to reduce your progression, maybe get you off a drug or two, and give you a better outcome? And I think that's the part that we continue to miss, is that we're still at that place of, well, you either have heart disease or you don't. Oh, we're going to try and prevent it, but we're preventing it with, you know, as you said, we got one tack that we're pulling out, and we're not, you know, talking about this. Insulin glucose issues, or the low magnesium issues, or the C-reactive protein, or homocysteine levels, right? All the different aspects that show that, you know, you're moving down that train, right? That train is squarely heading for heart disease. And if all you do is think about LDL cholesterol, that is not going to be the only thing that does it.
So coming back to the subject of aged garlic extract, can we think, I mean, look, this, it's not a one-for-one substitution for appropriate medical care, but can we think of aged garlic extract as kind of a poly pill that kind of attacks multiple pathways to cardiovascular disease and can slow progression?
Yeah, as we were talking about in that first segment, we talked about it keeping calcium in the bones, because it turns out when your bones get thin and you release calcium, it likes to line your arteries.
It's kind of like a vitamin K-like effect. That's a vitamin K-type effect, right?
That's exactly right. It's keeping the calcium in your bones. And so with aged garlic, you're reducing LDL cholesterol. You know, it's not massive, but you get some reduction. But
there is a demonstrable effect of somewhat lowering cholesterol. But you know, we're not talking, you know, 30, 40, 50 points like with a potent drug. But you know, perhaps high single digits, low double digits, perhaps.
Yeah, 10%.
Okay.
It's kind of how they kind of figure up to about 10%. But what's big is that it dramatically lowers oxidized LDL.
Okay.
And it does have an impact on lipoprotein little a and does have an impact on apolipoprotein B, these bad actor lipids. And so that's where it gets its global, I think, benefit is, yeah, 10% of your cholesterol, it's going to lower, you know, oxidized LDL a bunch. I mean, you know, upwards of even 88% in some studies. And then, of course, you know, it has all these other side benefits of raising adiponectin levels, which is a big marker for oxidative stress and glucose utilization. So when your adiponectin is good, or you basically got the trough full, you're going to be in much better shape than if it's empty. And so, you know, that improvement in your lipids, improvement in your blood pressure, because blood pressure is another huge component of this, right? You know, you have that combination of the two. That's powerful in a single compound.
How about impacts on homocysteine? From what I understand, there is some suggestion that aged garlic extract can influence homocysteine.
Yes, it can. There's actually a few papers that have shown that. And, you know, of course, homocysteine for the audience, when your homocysteine is elevated, more heart disease risk, more dementia risk, and more kidney disease risk. And so I think what it's doing when it's lowering that, it's actually lowering the homocysteine that's coming out of the kidneys. Because we've had those folks that we gave them the B vitamins they were supposed to get and the homocysteine didn't go down. And that's because they were making it in their kidneys. And so, you know, I think you know, when you look at all of its metabolic targets, it lowers C-reactive protein. It lowers interleukin-6. So IL-6 is another inflammatory compound that, you know, you got to be concerned about. And so it's got that effect that if you're in the National Cholesterol Month, and you're interested in changing your lifestyle, this is an easy fix.
Indeed. I mean, and look, and we're not talking about an either or. We're talking about adjunctive treatment. And it kind of harkens back to a study that we discussed a few years back, which is a famous study done on coronary calcification. This study was done on people who were on statins, because it would be unethical these days to say, okay, you've got lots of gunk in your coronary arteries, but we're going to do an experiment where we're not going to give you statins. I mean, it's what's called the standard of care, and they now wouldn't permit research from an ethical standpoint where they deny people the potential benefits of statins. It's a little bit like the Tuskegee syphilis study, where they took African-American men, and half of them, they got penicillin for their syphilis, and half of them, they denied them therapy. And it was an example of the most unethical trial ever undertaken. But what they did with some of them, they gave them the aged garlic extract on top of their statins, and then they gave others a placebo. So there's just either statins alone or statins plus aged garlic extract. And do you recall what happened on that study?
Oh, I do. There is a you know, about a 70%.
That was Matthew Budoff. Matthew Budoff did that study.
Yep, at Harvard Medical.
Yep.
And UCLA.
UCLA. He's from UCLA, right.
Yep. And what they showed was a significant reduction, and I mean significant, like over 70% reduction in coronary artery calcification in people that already had coronary artery calcification. So, you know, it's that, you know, even when you take a statin, you tend to progress the coronary artery calcification. Mm-hmm. This reduced its progression by 3/4.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So, in other words, the take-home message is that it's not an either-or, but it is compatible. And for people who have enough concern about their cardiovascular wellness to be taking a statin, I think it would be highly advisable to take, you know, things like coenzyme Q10, obviously, because statins deplete coenzyme Q10, but to take the whole panoply of things, magnesium, omega-3 fatty acids, but also aged garlic extract. And so that would be a market for aged garlic extract of what? We'd say about 100 million Americans? Because practically everybody is...
Well, you know, it's interesting, though. This has been published in primary referee journals, leading interventional cardiologist and Dr. Yep. Budoff.
And he has a sterling reputation, by the way. He's not just a doc for hire by Wakanaga to publish a study in favor of aged garlic extract. I think he came to them and said, hey, I'd like to check this out because I'm an interventional know, radiologist, and I want to see how this works, an expert on coronary calcification.
Yeah, exactly. And so the piece that's interesting is it lowers both the progression of calcified plaque, but then they've also have the study that shows that it reduces vulnerable plaque, plaque that hasn't hardened yet, but is the one that's at risk for breaking off and mm-hmm. circulating and triggering, you know, an embolism or a heart
right.
attack.
Right. So it's not just quantity of plaque, it's also the quality of plaque that we have to look at. Because two people with the same plaque score, one might be, you know, on death's door, and the other one might safely go on for decades without an event.
Yep, that's exactly right. But I think, you know, what I like about aged garlic is it has so many different benefits. When you think about, all right, blood vessels, decreasing inflammatory cytokines, the effect on the microbiome, acting as a prebiotic, the effect on the immune system. You know, all these benefits, the obvious ones that we talked about earlier, blood vessel pliability, better lipid profile differentiation, all of those things in one ingredient. And it's easy for me to talk about aged garlic extract because it's so good to see that there's companies putting this kind of research into products that are novel.
Indeed. Okay, so let's go through their product lineup because they actually have a lot of different offerings. And one of them is Formula 104 for cholesterol health. And so it teams aged garlic extract with some other ingredients. Can you describe that and how should people use it?
Sure. So, you know, if you look at their products, they've always got value added ingredients. So what's in aged garlic or Formula 104 is it has lecithin with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, lecithin has been used for, you know, improving lipids for, my gosh, 50 years, right?
Yeah. You know, since the Adele Davis years. I mean, she was a big lecithin fan. It was like... Not just the stuff that we read, but the stuff that our parents read, you know, when they read Prevention magazine back in the 50s and 60s.
Exactly. And so you know, aged garlic and lecithin. And I would suggest if you do have a cholesterol problem that you do take two twice a day. Or if you're going to, you know, if you want to reduce the pill count, you could do two of these. And you could get a bottle of Kyolic Reserve and take one of those a day.
Okay, that's a good concept, yeah, because that's the one that just, you know, pure and simple aged garlic extract, I think 600 milligrams per capsule, right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a great formulation. You know, they've got their blood pressure product.
Mm-hmm.
Because aged garlic has really worked for blood pressure. And, you know, basically when you're thinking of cholesterol, you're thinking of...
Well, and we haven't talked about that much because, you know, it's not just high cholesterol that gives you heart attack. It's, you know, the constant pressure of high blood pressure on your heart that causes, you know, circulatory problems that can increase the risk of inflammation of your carotid arteries and ultimately, you know, causes the white matter of your brain to deteriorate. So, you know, addressing blood pressure is important. And that's another way by which this kind of poly pill can address cardiovascular risk.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think people should know their blood pressure. I think they should know their day blood pressure. I think that they should know their night blood pressure. You don't have to do it every day, but, you know, a couple times a week, go and, you know, put your arm in the cuff and check out where your blood pressure's at. It doesn't hurt. Even if you did it once a month, it's mm-hmm. better than most people.
Right.
It's shocking how many people don't know their blood pressure.
It's a little segue. As I came across an article, I could see if I could pull it up, but basically what the article said is that a very high percentage of people who check their blood pressure at home get inaccurate readings. And it's for the simple reason, not that the devices are crappy, and some of them are, you know, but they're pretty good these days. It's that simply they're using the wrong type of cuff. And you can go wrong two ways. One, if you have a very skinny arm and you got a regular size cuff, it will, I believe, underestimate your blood pressure. And if you have a regular cuff and you have a big fat arm, I think it'll overestimate your blood pressure, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway,
That's right. It's
about cuff sizes. So imagine, you know, when you're developing health programs for a lifetime and, you know, they want to screen people for hypertension, I think that, you know, some of your input is around ascertaining the correct blood pressure, doing it the right way.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, I think, you know, I think it's one of the biggest things that, you know, people that work out a lot, maybe men that have bigger arms, they get the mistake of, or the practitioner has the mistake of trying to use the medium cuff, and it misrepresents how high their number is.
Yep.
And then, you know, why do you do it at bedtime? Well, you're doing it at bedtime to see if your nervous system is calming down or not.
Okay.
Because your nervous system is supposed to calm down as you move into the evening.
So it's not a great idea to check it, you know, anytime during the day on awakening, say?
Oh, sure. No, you want to do it in the morning.
Yeah.
And you want to do it at bed.
Okay. Minimum. So different, almost like random checks, because, you know, it could be like if you're like super zen at bedtime, that may not represent your blood pressure throughout the day when you're stressed.
That's exactly right. And we see that a lot.
Yeah.
See a lot of people where, you know, you do a daytime and you do a nighttime, and all of a sudden the nighttime's every bit as high as the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells you that they're under a lot of stress.
Yeah.
That their body is still cranking out a bunch of cortisol and adrenaline, and it's supposed to not be doing that at night.
I'm looking forward to better wearables because, you know, I just looked at the latest iteration of the Apple Watch, and they don't have a blood sugar measurement on it. And, you know, that... We're beginning to see the advent of non-invasive ways to monitor blood sugar so that you can have a continuous glucose monitor on your wrist, but they haven't cracked the code on that, or maybe they haven't gotten through the patent entanglements on that. But it'd be great if you had a really good ambulatory blood pressure monitor that could track your blood pressure throughout the day, you know, not just when you're relaxed, but, you know, when you're, you know, maybe at the office and there's a little stress going on, and because, you know, people have white coat hypertension in the doctor's office, they say, oh, you're just stressed now. Well, that may count. That may matter over time.
That's right. And it's so important to understand that your body works by a circadian clock. It's supposed to be stressed in the morning. That's supposed to be a pinnacle. And yeah, it may head up there until, you know, 1 o'clock, but then it's supposed to start coming down. And by the time you get to bed, it should definitely come down lower than what you did in the morning. And, you know, and if it's not happening, products like H-Garlic Extract are incredibly important.
So what can we say in sum in relationship to Cholesterol Education Month? On the one hand, we have people who say, hey, you know, if you're a middle-aged guy and your cholesterol is over 200, you need to be on a statin. Everybody has to be on a statin. Or alternatively, you have people who are, I think, cholesterol denialists, and they say statins are poison. You know, you're in a fool's paradise. Lowering cholesterol is bad. It's going to strip your brain of necessary cholesterol. So it's the biggest scandal that's been perpetrated on the American public since the beginning of time. Is there a middle ground that you espouse?
Yeah, look, I'm going to go back to the concept of the more motivated you are, the more you can probably overcome your cholesterol issues. But if you're not overcoming your cholesterol issues and you're trying pretty darn hard and you want to lower the amount of lipids that you have, as long as you're watching that they don't dip so low. But if you're doing that, well, you're really putting yourself in a position of being able to manage your chemistry more appropriately by following the circadian rhythm, of your blood pressure. And, it's tough because, people tend to wake up in the morning and have 3 cups of coffee, right? Mm-hmm. People tend to wake up in the morning and have 3 cups of coffee and then jump in their car and get right in the middle of traffic. And all that stuff is inducing stress.
Yep.
And so, aged garlic helping to kind of neutralize that is incredibly important because that's where people are at. It's not, they might not even be eating that bad, but their blood pressures are really high, mm-hmm. or at least they're borderline high. And we're really trying to get them to get down to that, 120 over 80, 115 over 75. Mm-hmm. Because when we don't, and we're creating more of that disordered chemistry, what I always try to get across is that lipids are kind of at the top of the cascade. They start to get disfigured and people go, whoa, why do I have high lipids? But the source of the problem then starts to come and create more, problems that you have, right? So that thought of making sure that you get in enough, that you're getting those blood vessel walls to expand, that you don't create a train wreck at the end of the day. I think those are absolutely essential. And I think you got to get other nutrients on board. I mean, you have to think about recommending omega-3. I mean, it's very interesting because they have a kind of a comprehensive omega-3 with aged garlic, which I think is pretty amazing.
And that's the cardiovascular formula?
So the cardiovascular formula, so the one for, blood pressure, right? So you've got one for blood pressure and, that one is, it's got theanine in it. It's got some natokinase in it. And so that's helping your blood vessels to relax more. Mm-hmm. Very important. Okay. You have one that's an omega-3, a heart and immune product. So it's omega-3, aged garlic, B vitamins, and vitamin D3.
The B vitamins for homocysteine, right.
So it's a big multitasker. So there's several of these that I think are incredibly important. And I also tell people to do them in between what periods of the year it is, right? Hey, it's going into fall. I'm going to use the immune aged garlic extract and then add a little more to it so that I can, have more of those immune-friendly products that they have. And then you can always switch them out as you need to. Mm-hmm. But, in the end, it really, when you think of cholesterol awareness, and what we're trying to do in this country, we're just putting Band-Aid on bullet holes by just saying, here, take the statin, it's going to fix everything. And the data doesn't even support that.
Right.
It's an imperative thing for people listening. Take nutrients. We talked about 3 of them. Magnesium, omega-3s, and aged garlic extract, otherwise known as chiolic. Those are the minimums. And, and then you're going to have to learn how to eat better. And you're going to have to move. You're going to have to start walking. You've got to do that because otherwise, I think the result you were looking for when you started taking that drug just isn't going to be there.
Indeed. Okay, so we could actually reframe our today's topic as beyond cholesterol education month, right? Because it's really an all of the above approach. Cholesterol is just part of a mosaic of issues that relate to ultimately the risk of cardiovascular disease. So, okay, great stuff as usual, Jim, and always exciting to hear news about the latest study. The scientific research just keeps rolling in about the benefits of aged garlic extract. If you want to find out more, you can go to kyolic.com, KYOLIC.com, or call 1-800-421-2998. Do you actually have people, human beings answering there, or are you going to get into some like AI phone tree, like when you try, like when you want to cancel a check at your bank?
Human beings answering. I'm not a part of the Wakanaga
organization,
company, but
okay.
They do have,
they won't get you.
They do have human beings.
They won't get you.
That's right.
You're not manning the phone lines. Okay, well, that's good.
That part I'm not doing. I'm not manning the darn phones. But okay. They do have people that man the phones. And look, incredibly helpful.
Good.
You know, leading garlic on health food stores, and so, and available with full script, right? So
yep.
You can get this. I'm just pleading with people. This is the top thing. This is one of the top things that you can take if you're trying to be proactive about your health. And just get to that 1,200 milligram dose like what Dr. Hoffman was talking about. 1,200 milligrams a day is going to create a huge difference in the results that you're going to get, because that's kind of that where we saw the majority of the results is the 1,200 milligrams and above.
Indeed. Well, something's working for me. I'm feeling pretty good, but I also take 29 other things, so it's hard to separate out the effects, but it's part of a concerted program to fend off the ravages of aging.
When you live in a low-stress environment.
Oh, yeah. I'm right. Live in Manhattan. I do almost daily podcasts. I'm president of two different organizations, and yeah, very low stress.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly right.
But we try to roll. We try to roll with it, and you and also have some very, very responsible positions, and you're getting the word out and doing an impressive job on the health and anti-aging front. And we'll get you back on a separate topic because you're also an expert on peptides. You've written a book on peptides. We have a lot of listener questions about peptides. It's kind of like the big new thing.
Oh, great!
And we'll also talk to you a little bit about anti-aging strategies in general, of which. Aged garlic extract is merely a small part of. So, great. Thanks very much once again for joining us. Remember, kyolic.com, place to go for information. And what about information about what you're doing, Jim? You want to give that out? You have a website?
Sure. I got a website, jimlaval.com, and certainly they could go to The Real Jim Laval. That's where a lot of my Instagram feed, we got a lot of information up, and where I've been. I think it's working out really well there. Got thousands of followers now. It's kind of fun.
Well, we're in the same business, getting the word out, and you're doing an admirable job on your front. And so it's always great to get together with you. All the best, and we'll reconvene a little later in the year. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news, and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.